This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Pagan, I'm Pagay Pagan, and joining me on the show, I've got a very special guest today. I've got the big boss man over at Primeworks Studios, Ahmad Izam. Omar, it's an absolute pleasure to speak to you.
It's an honor to be here, man.
I
love your show.
Thank you. You have a new movie out, and one that you are a credited screenwriter on. It's called Pulang, and I'm sure many people have seen the posters all across the city. This one has quite the marketing blitz, but it's also got a very personal story for you. So before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, can you set up the context of this film?
Okay, it's very simple. When I was young, my father told me this story. A guy in the 40s in Surkam brings his family to Singapore, goes to the Singapore port, and then shows his wife and kid. At the time, he was 5 years old, a kid, 5 years old, and he pointed to a big ship and he said, "I'm going to work there." And the wife said, "When?" He said, "Tonight." And then said, "Okay, when are you coming back?" "A couple of months, maybe." And then he left, and she never saw him. And she only found out what happened 61 years later.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, that guy was your grandfather.
It was my grandfather.
Yeah. It is an absolutely devastating story. Yeah. Like, when you think about it, when you reach the end of the film, you're like, this is a devastating love story that couldn't have happened in the age of the telephone. Right?
Yes. Yeah, because it was very hard to communicate to each other, of course. And then he's a very quiet guy, and he keeps everything to himself.
He is a very old-fashioned, I guess, Malay breadwinner, if you will, right? His goal from the film was someone who wanted to give her all the things she didn't have.
Mm.
And there was a very clear miscommunication between the both of them because she kept insisting, "I don't need anything."
That's the thing. Also, in the old days, you know, the men don't really, really listen. They actually, you know what, I don't care. I'm supposed to be a man. I'm supposed to be going out there and getting gold or something, riches for my family. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm not a man. So he goes.
So how did you research this story? Now, you played a very important part in the story because you were, I mean, your character in the film is you. You were sent to investigate what happened. Was that all real?
Yes, that was all real, but it was a very younger Ahmad. because I think we would like to attract the younger demographics to go. So we tweaked the story a little bit. And so a younger Ahmad went off to find out the truth about what happened to his grandfather in Liverpool. And so he did. But in doing so, he discovered a lot of things. Most importantly, he discovered what it means to really, really have a family. And that's the theme of the film, right? If you have... No matter what adventures life take you on, it all means nothing if you have no family to come home to. And that was a theme that we kept right through the film.
And the interesting thing about the movie, of course, is that it maintains its mystery throughout, right?
Yeah.
As a viewer, I'm waiting to find out who the villain is.
Right.
Because I'm not sure if it's her. I'm not sure if it's Omar. I'm not sure if it's the father.
Or Cikgu Hassan.
Oh, Cikgu Hassan. Sneaky Cikgu Hassan. And I'm waiting to find out who the villain of the piece is. And I think in that sense, it's quite an interesting love story because no one's the villain of the piece.
Oh, but really? When you think about it, it's the sea. It is.
Oh, you went there.
I know, but it is the sea. It is the sea. I know it sounds cliche, but it's himself. He is a villain to himself. He is egoistic. He doesn't want to listen. So in the end, you know, he paid the price.
So tell me how, I guess, this affected your dad.
Yeah.
He plays a part in the film as well. There's a character of Omar, who's your father. And from the movie, it feels like both of their relationships between mom and son are quite strained. It had been strained. It feels like it's been strained ever since she sold your grandfather's boat.
Correct. In order for her to make a trip to go and find him, right? I'm not giving away anything here, but yeah. But even though it's strained, in real life as well, they were very close. I think because she was both mother and father to him. And she really, really went all out and told him, you know, you go do this. You go. He went to he was the first batch of the Star Boarding School. And she sent him off, even though she was all alone in the kampong. She sent him off and said, you go be a good person. And I think he took that lesson to heart. And when we were all born, she loved us to bits, all the chuchus and all that, right? So I think he had nowhere else to go.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the production of the movie. Okay. This is a $6 million film. Yes. It is Primeworks' biggest production to date.
To date, yes.
And talk to me about the selection of the director. Why Kabi Bhatia?
Okay, now, first of all, why the film? Now, apart from it being a story that I know of, you know, but when we sat down and we all realized that actually this is a really, really good tragic love story, first of all.
Very tragic.
So it's got to be done because that would attract.
Your stupid movie made Ian and I cry a little bit at the end.
Oh, I did it! But it because this movie can attract the mass market. As you know, Malaysian mass market, they love the tragic, oh my God, what happened, love story, right?
Yes.
At the same time, like, it had this epicness. It had this history of Malay sailors, a bit of history. It had a non-typical Malay movie hero. You know, and I think all these things make for good viewing for those people who are not the mass market. They're film critics like you guys. But they're also the general audience who's like, I'm never going to watch a Malay movie. So I think this film kind of straddles the two. And I think we've managed to do something that I think, when we're about to start the film, we're going like, okay, let's go on that. But most importantly, let's do it the best that we can because we really got a good story here. And then we realized that the best person to direct it was none other than Kabi Bhatia because he's very good at these sort of things. He didn't want to do it at first. Because he says, I don't want to be typecasted as someone who does this tragic love story.
And then I was just going to say,
I know,
Kabe and his melodrama.
I know. When Aubrey's strings came at the end, and that's when you teared, right? Okay, anyway, Kabe looked at the script and he went like, oh my God, okay, I got to do this, right? And then, of course, we brought in Mira Mustafa, who looked at my script and she fixed it. Well, anyway, what she did was she made it more of a love story. And so with Mira in and Kabe in, I think the thing just got elevated to a really, really good status for us, for a really good place, into a really good place. And so we were really, really happy with it. And then we got Tommy Manzo as a production designer. We got Basecamp for the CGI, Aubrey on the music. I just felt like I was this happy little guy sitting at the back row and they're doing all these things and going like, look at all these people.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Were you at the back row in the sense that this is such a personal story for you?
I have to be. I have to because I can't be too close to it. In fact, that's the reason why we got Mira in to work on the script and elevate it to something else because I think I was too close to it. Because if you're too close to it, then you're not objective. And again, this is elevated beyond my story already. This should be a story that every Malaysian and everybody in the world, I hope, would enjoy, right? In that sense, then, it can't be my story anymore. Yes, it is a personal story, but you got to get all these really great people around you who then turn it into something that is universal and that a lot of people will enjoy.
And how was it like for your family? The reason I ask is because the depictions of the characters, no one's, it's not hagiographic, no one's angelic. Everyone has their flaws and no one is necessarily depicted as a real hero.
Right, that's right.
Everyone makes tragic mistakes.
Yeah. I know, that's my family for you. But guess what, right before the gala preview, we had a Serkam family screening.
Now, right.
I was a bit worried because these guys don't really go to the movies. And they sort of remember Nick Tom because it's been quite some time. And so when they came in and I was looking at them and the movie started, their eyes grew big at the first of all, the epic landscape, right? And they go like, wow, Serkam is so beautiful. I was like, okay. Later I'll tell you where we shot that. And then when the first words came out, Tom, They were crying because he was their grandmother that they knew, or grand aunt that they knew, right? So and I think that got them. But towards the end, then they realized that this is just a beautiful and tragic love story, and done with such care and love by Kabe that I think, you know, they were just in tears, and they were hugging me. One auntie of mine that I haven't met for a long time was just holding my hand. I'm a 48-year-old guy, and she's holding my hand and you know, walking through the coffee place and all that. So it's quite nice. But you know, one thing I learned from I attended a talk. In fact, I was in a panel together with the great Yasmin Ahmad, and she said something to the audience that I kept until today. And she said that the only way to touch someone's heart is to touch yours. Don't think it. Don't think what they like. Think about what you like, what moves you, and that will move people. And I think when I was writing the script, I was crying at certain parts, right? But after a while, I gave it up. I let someone else do it and finish it. And they, in turn, took that process on. So I think because I touched myself, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So I think it helps. It helps that it helps the movie. And makes us realize a lot of things on that. When we greenlight any movies from now on, it's got to be a really, really strong, emotive story. It can't just be, okay, there's a lot of explosions and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, cry, but does it touch someone?
I mean, explosions are good.
Yeah, of course they are good.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But
we have some in our film.
You do have some explosions in your film. You've got fight scenes in your film.
Oh, tell me about it, yeah.
But yeah. Tell me this. I mean, when you greenlight a movie like this, I mean, there is no doubt that this is a hard sell. It doesn't necessarily fall into those police evil munafik buckets that a lot of studios like to go. I'm a big fan of movies like this because it's an original story, right? And I want to see more Malaysian stories come out like this.
Thanks. Yeah.
And these intimate personal stories that people have, these family stories that are bottled up for years and decades, they need to come out. Would this movie have been made if it wasn't Ahmad Izam Omar's story?
Oh, that's the thing. I think it would still have been made because, well, the way it's been done, after the script has been finished by Mira and me, I think it is a good story. I mean, you could take me out of the picture, right? It is still a good story, a tragic story, a story that needs to be told, especially about the Malay sailors. Oh my God, these guys were adventurous, man. They were... One became a mayor in England. One became a tube driver.
Of course he did.
one went to jail. One became an extra in a Peter Sellers movie. I mean, these pakcik were really something else.
I didn't know that there was a Malay Sailors Club in Liverpool.
There was, and I think they got evicted, didn't pay their rent or something, but now someone's trying to revive another one.
While these bits of our history are chronicled in academic works and stuff like that, there's very little of it in the mainstream. So a vast majority of our population has no idea the scope and the influence that Malay sailors had out there in the world.
So here's the thing. Because it's a mass tragic love story that the mass market would love to see, and it's got this historical value to it with really strong production values and really, really nice cinematography and CGI and audio. Combine those two, it was a risk that we had to take. Yes, we did invest more than the normal movie, but not too much more that there was no hope of break-even. I'm still a businessman at heart.
You have to be.
I didn't want to make a movie that was so expensive that I didn't have a break-even, and then I would lose faith in all the investors. And on they go like, Malaysian movies, you know, we'll never invest in them again. But we make it still a bit more expensive so we can do all these great effects and stuff. And yet have a hope of reaching break-even so that people go like, wait a minute, yeah, let's spend a little bit more and a bit more and a bit more, and you know, hopefully, you know, we get better movies.
Yeah, it was 6 million, but also a really long shoot as well. It was a 60-day shoot.
It was a 60-day shoot and really long CGI process.
I can imagine.
A year's worth, yeah. However, some scenes were shot in a little warehouse in Stapa.
The Hong Kong scenes?
The ship scenes, unbelievably, was shot on dry land.
So you kind of like made up a soundstage.
Yes, they had a gimbal stage. They had something that was they could twirl it around and upside down, and it was really scary. I thought that the actors were going to be hurt and stuff. Yeah, this is a risk that was worth taking.
Yeah.
This is why we did it. Even if it's not my story, even if anybody else's story, we have something like this, we got to take this shot.
So am I right in thinking it's got to make at least 10 to break even?
Well, yeah, we haven't counted international revenues.
All right.
So yeah. Something like that,
around
maybe.
Around there.
Around there,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And are you optimistic?
Well, back from the reviews from very honest people who come to me after they saw it, we are very cautiously optimistic.
That's good. Yeah.
And I hope everybody goes out to see it. Just first of all, just to have a good cry. And number two, just go like, hey, wait a minute. You know, this is a part of history, Malaysian history, that we should see. And it's multiracial. They speak all languages in there. So I think it's nice.
Congratulations on the film. I hope people do go and see it. And then, you know, they can let us know. Of course, they can tweet me and they can tweet you.
Yeah, they can. Yes.
You had a long Twitter thread about the film.
I do have a long Twitter thread. And I follow you, Uma.
Thank you.
I know what you're up to.
You do. Hey, before I let you go, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, I guess, the industry at large. I mean,
okay.
You've been doing this for such a long time now. Do you see any major changes in the whole hashtag Malaysia Baru thing, or is it business as usual for the most part?
Well, I think people are braver now. I think they were always brave, but they want to put it out there. And I think it's good because we want to see these brave stories. But the best thing is, right, with all this hypeness and positivity and great positive energy around, it makes people want to buy more stuff and actually watch more films. So I think that helps. The industry people just walk in and say, I want to enjoy myself. I want to support whatever it is that you're doing. Okay, let's go.
But putting on your studio head cap for a second, were these stories not forthcoming in the past? I mean, do you feel that these, I guess, braver, more unique stories will come out now?
Well, that's the thing. When we started this film, it was 2 years ago. So I think the great stories were always there. You know, the great Yasmin Ahmad always had these great stories, right? Dane Said. So it was always there. And I think it's just right now we're going to get more traction from the consumer who are happier. Happier consumers mean they want to go and see more movies.
They do. But you guys still have a bit of an uphill task convincing them to pay for the Malaysian movie.
Oh, that's right. that's true. There is an inherent biasness towards Malaysian movies.
Because you know we had earlier in the year this movie called Badang, right? And, you know, that was really something special.
Unfortunately, I didn't see it to comment.
Oh, you missed out.
I missed out on Badang. Okay, right. Okay.
But yeah, so I mean, it's an uphill task because, you know, there are maybe two or three Malaysian movies that really stand out every year out of the 40. I think now we're down to 40, right? It used to be 70 or 80.
Yeah,
now
I know.
We're down to 40. Yeah. Actually, is that a good thing? Because I think personally that's a good thing. I think the lower numbers are a good thing.
The lower numbers are better because it means that people are more focused. And I think we have less of those who just, I call them new money. And suddenly they say, no, what do you want to do? You're new money. I want to make a film.
Feels like a glamour project, right?
Yeah. And they were not in the film industry. I'm not saying that only those in the film industry can do films. Anybody can do one. You know, but if you don't have the background or the infrastructure, right, then you really are burning the cash.
How do we convince Malaysians? Because they're spending money. They're 62 million for Avengers Infinity War. That means Malaysians
crazy.
Have seen it 2, 3, 4 times.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So how do we convince them to watch local films? How do we get them back into the cinema?
Well, first of all, it's got to be a really great, interesting and unique story. A bit much like Pulang. I mean, I know you say it's a tragic love story, yeah, but it's unique that it actually happened and based on some history, and also it's different. So anybody out there with a different story has their leg up, right? And then you got to put really strong production values on. You can't skimp on it. You really have to put your money behind the movie. And then you need to have strong promotional and marketing power. And to that sense, I'm happy that I'm part of a group that really supports the movie. So we've got all those things together and maybe we can make something. And if people see it and there's success, right? And they'll, you know, in any industry, they'll be like, not copycats, but there'll be people who say, like, wait a minute, that's a success, so let's do more of that.
Let's make the next Police Evil, right?
Right. Well, it's good. So if everybody elevates themselves to let's make more Police Evil, it's great for the industry.
And I think, you know, who gets that right? I think the Japanese get that right in the sense that a lot of the time, they don't just want to make the next Ring. Mm. They want to make the better Ring.
Correct. That's right. That's all right.
And I think that's the key, right? It's not just make another Police Evo or another Munafik, but let's make the better one. Let's scare people even more.
Correct. But it's the entertainment industry lives on the fact that you got to make the next big hit, which means that you got to surprise people. So you can't just do the same thing over and over again. People just get bored. right? So in that sense, that's why the banks stay away from our industry, because it's too volatile. We have no idea what's going to be the next big hit, right? So what we can do is at least try our best.
What does Primeworks have in store for, I guess, the next generation, for younger filmmakers?
We did Kill, we did Pekak.
You did Pekak, which yes. was, I loved Pekak. Oh, I thought that too. Was a very good movie. Yeah.
We need more of those. And we need more of those. The thing is with Pekak, right, it's such a very good story, right? But it did not reach the mass market. So we learn from that. We go like, okay, we want to make more Pekaks. I don't want to stay away from that. But we got to figure out how to make it move the needle better. Because when we innovate and do movies, we do want to make movies just for a small group. But we don't want to make just any movie just so that to appeal to big groups. So the trick is to find a really new concept, new idea, but that can move everyone.
Have you got an idea? And have you been able to crack, I think, what is the biggest problem in the Malaysian film industry with regards to audience, which is how do we get everyone to a movie? We still have that problem where Malay people watch Malay movies, yeah, Chinese people watch Chinese movies, Indian people watch Indian movies.
Yeah, we do.
Do you have a strategy in mind? Have you been working on something?
Well, I dare say Pulang is one step in that direction.
Go on and plug the movie one last time.
Because Pulang, there's multiracial relationships. They go around the world. They meet all sorts of people. And I think the theme is universal enough for anyone to like the hero or not like the hero or get angry at the hero. Whatever it is, they feel something for the hero. And I think everybody, people from all races have watched it and they were like, they really like it. So I think that's one step. But we got to make more Malaysian movies out there. Movies that appeal to every race. So you got to find out what's the common thread running through every race. Now, some people say, but that's not going to be...
Superheroes, apparently.
Superheroes. But most movie players here would say that, but that's not... If you do something, a common thread, you just get a small group of people. But I think not. I think a lot of things move a lot of people. So if you find the right theme, the right love story, or the right story in that sense, I think you can reach a lot of people. So,
yeah.
No, but to say that I found the trick, I don't think any of us have. All of us are just trying our best.
Yeah.
Everybody around the world, I think. Yeah.
Ahmad Izam Omar has been speaking to me today. His movie Pulang is out in cinemas. I urge you to go check it out. Yes, I know Mission Impossible 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 is also coming out as well. But you know what? This is great counter-programming to all of that action. So go watch that. And then, of course, take your family to watch Pulang as well and have a good cry afterwards. Izam, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Omar.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.